yeah, I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, October 17th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. You know, I'm still suffering the effects of my trip over the weekend. As I mentioned on my show yesterday, I happened to stay with a really good friend of mine I hadn't seen in a long time, he's a musician in his own right. We got together and we played some tunes. I'll tell you what, I don't know whether you've ever done. Have you ever, you know, got a song stuck in your head and you just can't get it out? I mean, you know, I've been walking around humming this stupid tune for three. Well, it's not stupid, really. I mean, it's a good song, but it's like 25 years old. And I find myself walking around dawn till dark, you know, humming this tune in my head. You know, it's an old song. You know, this guy used to be a country western singer, really, really good one in his own right. And then he flipped over into more into religious music. But you remember, you know, Ricky Skaggs, "I'm Crying My Heart Out Over You." And I don't even have, you know, I have nobody I'm even crying my heart out over, but it's just, I can't get it out of my head. So I've got a guest coming up today, Rob Bishop. An activist, and so if you hear in the background I'm humming this tune, okay, you'll know why. But at any rate, I want to tell you, I've got Rob Bishop coming up today. Rob is an activist, and what I'd like for you to do today, you know, there's hope for us, folks. I'm going to tell you, I had a pleasant conversation with this gentleman the other day, invited him up on my show, and I want you to pay close attention to what he says, but also what I want you to remember while he's talking, and as knowledgeable as he is. And I'm going to tell you at the end of the show, I'm not going to tell you this gentleman's age until the end of the show. I want you to take a guess. Okay, but it's very encouraging because, you know, I run across these guys. We've got a guy at the network, Michael Powers, who's the advertising rep. Another guy, really, really young guy, okay, but impressive as heck because of the knowledge and the talent and the initiative that this guy has. And, you know, when I was on KFNX in Phoenix last year, there was a gentleman that his name was Nick. I can't recall his last name, but I had met him at the symposium back in June of last year. Remember when Charlie Sheen and Alex Jones put on that symposium? I went out there, and I met this gentleman at the symposium. Young guy, but very, very knowledgeable. And when you hear guys like these, it really gives us hope for the future. We got Ron Paul. He's blowing people away. The odds in Las Vegas at the onset were like 50-1, and they're down to, I think it's about 6-1. Now, he may, it's an outside shot that he may just get the nomination. And then when you put that together with these young guys that are coming out here full of vim, vigor, and energy, wearechange.org that's out there confronting these candidates on camera, you know, catching them like a deer in the headlights, and it really gives us cause for optimism. So with that, after the break, I've got Rob coming up, and he's going to bring us up to speed about how we got to where we are. And I want you to just listen very close, because remember, at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you how old this guy is, and it'll blow you away. Now, real quick, remember, if you haven't already got your constitutional book and your the Bill of Rights thing, give Sandra or Julia a call at 800-724-2719. Boy, I drew a blank for a minute. We'll send you out some bumper stickers. We'll be back after the break with Rob Bishop. Stick with me. Got a good show today. Look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And as I mentioned to you prior to the break, I got Rob Bishop coming up here. He's been an activist for, I believe he told me, about 7 years. And I want you to pay close attention to what he has to say today. And I think you'll be impressed. It gives us hope, folks. Ron Paul and guys like this guy, okay, we just might win. Without any further ado, let me go to Rob Bishop. Rob, you with me?
Yes, sir, Michael. Thanks again for bringing me on the show today.
Oh, not a problem, sir. Now, what we want to do today is we want to kind of give an overview and bring people up to speed back all the way, I guess, to World War II and, you know, kind of give them an oversight as how we got into this mess, right?
Oh, absolutely. And what it is, it's global governance by way of bioweapons, gun control, overall mass slavery. I mean, you want to trace back just in this country, back you can go in the modern era, 1915, you had a doctor in Mississippi that was producing pellagra. I don't know if you remember that disease. Went on for about 20 years. He actually started a guy by the name of Joseph Goldberger in 12 white Mississippi inmates in a prison in Mississippi, and that spread that disease. I mean, that's usually the way this works. I mean, biological warfare, actually in a government stage, started in 1918. The Japanese formation of Unit 731 of their army, and they literally had a section of the army, in the same way that we would have the Marine Corps or even Special Forces, dedicated solely to biological warfare on their own people as well as the enemy.
Okay, well, let's go back to pellagra for a minute. 1915, you're saying that this doctor put together some kind of a disease that he was using on inmates, is that right?
Absolutely. In fact, that went on for God about trying to pull up the thing here so I can get the exact statistics. I don't want to misquote myself here. It's a vitamin deficient disease caused by a lack of niacin, basically sort of AIDS light. And where hopefully we'll get into how AIDS was totally manufactured and was actually thought by the elites to be the great answer to overpopulation. I mean, people think that Bilderberg in 1954, the original Bilderberg meeting, was just a meeting of the elites sort of to backhand each other and rub elbows. In reality, it was a crisis meeting. They really came together after World War II. I mean, most people think that the entire war was basically orchestrated by the big banks. And to an extent, that is correct. Certainly, Hitler was funded by the same quote-unquote Jews, even though they're really Ashkenazi, which are about as Jewish as I am, that funded Hitler. I mean, the real actual Jews are Semitic, just as the Palestinians are. They're the Sephardic Jews. I mean, obviously everybody in RBN covers that. But afterward, the elites came together and said, okay, we can't keep doing this every 20 or 30 years. It's destroying us. It's derailing the plans that we all have. And you have to remember, the New World Order is really a misnomer. There is no New World Order group. New World Order is the plan that they have. Many of them have different visions of that. The global elites want a one-world socialist government. That's not news. How they want to arrive at that, that's the interesting aspect of it, because they all have these different views, these different goals, these different motivations. Some of it's religious, some of it's greed, some of it's just the lust for power. I mean, when you have from birth all the money, all the power in the world you want, you just want total control. That's what they feed on. And in 45, when they formed the United Nations, the reason for that, and actually you read the UN Charter, the original UN Charter talks about how they want a one-world socialist government where man takes care of man, and you know what that means. Basically, the people that work hard get screwed twice as hard for the lazy people on the bottom. You know, I mean, you look at socialist countries as a reason why leftist revolutions always end up in tyranny and totalitarianism. Because the fact is, man is a greedy animal. We want what's good for us and our family. You know, that's why socialized medicine is such a mistake. Why should I have to work twice as hard to pay for Joe Blow in the bar to get a new liver? It makes no sense. But turning back to Bilderberg in 54, the reason they brought that together was overpopulation, the baby boom after World War II, obviously. Hell, the world's population has doubled since World War II. Actually, more than that now. In Bilderberg II, in March of 55, March or May of 55, they came up with the idea of how to take out the world's population, culling the herd, as they called it. Bioweapons was deemed to be the most logical choice. You know, it was thought that maybe limited warfare over several nations could also help that as sort of a secondary cause, and we've seen that happen. I mean, we go to war on a timered basis. Every few years, we're going to a different war somewhere else for some reason we can't even figure out ourselves, and nobody will tell us. But
let me stop you for just a second here. When you said when Bilderberg first came into place, we've got a number of different factions of this agenda, which is the New World Order. And obviously, you know, I'm sure that we've got, you know, inner debate or arguments, if you will, on, you know, which particular plan is implemented. And there's probably fighting behind the scenes on who wishes to control it. Would I be right dead on that point?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's why, you know, with the secret society and sort of things that preluded to Bilderberg and you know, the Council on Foreign Relations becoming more powerful and leading to the Trilateral Commission, all of that stuff that's common nomenclature today, it was so fractured in the decades and even centuries beforehand that nothing was really done. You would have a few powerful families that controlled everything, and then nothing was really getting further to a global government, which has been the plan for God knows how long. I mean,
Yeah, so we kind of had a dark ages of the New World Order, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it was there, exactly. The plan was there, but they didn't know how to implement it. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Exactly. And that's when they came up with the idea of a global supervirus and new bubonic plague. And actually, there's CFR papers that go back to the 40s. Now, you have to look into the history of the CFR, which started out as a dinner group in New York in the 1920s. By the time that got powerful and had the investors behind it and basically became a globalist think tank by the time of the 30s and 40s, they were already coming up with ideas on how to eliminate the population. I mean, they are the ones that want to kill 11 out of 12 of us. You know, some of the more conservative globalists, not in terms of politics but in terms of culling the herd, they're saying, oh, only 80%, as if, you know, that kind of mass murder is okay, that kind of genocide. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about the Turkey genocide that's become a hot topic today because of the Democrats. But the interesting thing about that is it's all murder. It doesn't matter whether it's 98% of us or 80%. You know, I mean, a lot of these people are really whacked out environmentalists in the end.
Let me stop you for a minute. Let me ask you a quick question, because you're mentioning the CFR, and this started at, you know, at dinners back in the 1920s. Now, you know, we've got half of the candidates running for office on both sides of the aisle that are CFR members. We also know, and I've seen clips that I believe We Are Change confronted Fred Thompson, and it was either them or somebody else that talked to him and said, well, you're a member of the CFR. He claims ignorance about what the CFR really does. Also, they have invited Angelina Jolie in to be a member of the CFR. Well, I know that this woman's clueless. She has no idea what goes on behind the scenes. But at any rate, you know, there are some people within the CFR that know exactly what's going on. They're higher level, obviously. Then they have the lower level to just cover for their actions with, you know, humanitarian actions and so forth. Would I be on with that point?
Think about it this way, Mike. People working at Diet Pepsi, they're bottling Diet Pepsi, wearing the hairnets and just basically filling the cans and the bottles. Do they realize that they're sending out aspartame that's going to give their children cancer? Absolutely not. But way up in the offices, they realize that aspartame is cancerous. So in that sense, you're absolutely correct. There are people that are just pushing buttons and pulling levers that don't even realize what they're doing, and actually think for the most part it's a good thing that what they're pushing. But in the end, they're only bringing about their own destruction, their own slavery. It's an interesting paradigm for them to go through. And that's, you know, that's why we're seeing cops today becoming so militarized. It doesn't even go by just because of the fact that so many of them are coming straight out of Iraq and Afghanistan, going right into the police force. It's actually
Trained by Blackwater. I just read an article yesterday that Blackwater is training many of the police departments, and I'm for the life of me, I don't have any idea what is it that our police department wasn't trained in that Blackwater is going to show them. I mean, what, slitting somebody's throat? What? Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this goes back to the National Security Act of 47. Even you want to go back to the War Powers Act of 33, they've slowly been federalizing the police force. Eventually, the police force is going to be a government entity in its own right, a federal government entity, in the same way that the you're going to have a Department of Law Enforcement is the actual end goal with that. And, you know, you talk about it now where people are getting tasered for asking questions. People are getting tasered because they're 76 years old, incontinent, and total invalid, that they can't answer the police's questions because they can't speak. They don't know where they are. So they tase remember that? It was in Ocala, Florida, I believe it was. She was like 340 pounds, a total invalid, in her wheelchair, wouldn't answer the cops' questions as far as where her family was because they had the wrong address. It was a drug bust in a trailer park. The cops had the wrong address. They bust in. The family's not there because they went out to get dinner. You have this 76-year-old grandmother in a wheelchair, totally incontinent, total invalid. And they got, where is so-and-so and so? Where are the drugs? Tell us. Obviously, she's not saying anything because she can't. She doesn't understand what's going on. They tase her 10 times. Her heart literally stops, and she dies. And this happens over and over and over again. There's a story that Mike Chambers read on his RBN show not too long ago where an Air Force officer got arrested for drunk driving or something like that. I mean, totally innocuous in reality, you know, total nonviolent crime. The cop puts the cuffs on him, and the Air Force officer says, oh, well, you know, cool down, man. We're on the same side. The cop pulls a .38 out and blows his brains out right inside of the road. It's captured on the police camera. Nothing's done about it. It gets up on YouTube for a few days, a few talk shows talk about it, and then it dies. And it happens every day, and now we're getting desensitized to police brutality. And that's what they want to do. And again, these cops are probably good family people and at heart, but they've been degenerated to the point where they don't see a difference between Al-Qaeda and Joe Blow. There's no difference anymore. We are the enemy.
Okay, well, let's take a trip back now. We're talking about, you know, we're jumping all around the board here. Let's go back to Bilderberg, and you're talking about the original meetings that they had with Bilderberg were basically putting together some kind of a new plague. In the think tank, if you will, of how they were going to get rid of us.
Well, I mean, it's built over the period of a few years. I hear the music, okay. So they pick it up when we come back.
All right. We're going to go to a break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, activist Rob Bishop. Going to kind of get an overview of what's going on, how we got where we got today. So stick with us. We'll be back in three.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest activist, Rob Bishop. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. Go ahead and continue, Rob, with your thought pattern. We were talking about the Bilderberg, and you said there was a number of different factors involved, so continue with your thoughts.
Right. This evolved over a few years and a few different meetings at Bilderberg. In 55, it was one of only two times in history where they've met twice. And in 1 year, in March at the Hotel du Bas-Bras, say that 10 times fast, in Barbizon, France. And, you know, at that time, they started coming to the conclusion that the population was growing at too fast a rate, that it was depleting the planet's resources, and it was making it impossible for them to enact control over the entire global population. So over the course of the next 5 to 6 years, they came up with the idea of, okay, how are we going to depopulate the Earth? How are we going to make it a paradise for us? Because, I mean, literally, they don't view themselves as being evil and corrupt and all of these things. They view themselves as being children of Gaia. I mean, again, they're basically – and again, you know, this is generalizing because, I mean, there are several different factors going in and several different agendas. But for the most part, they view themselves as basically environmentalists. And the three considerations were – biological warfare, limited war. In other words, again, these small Iraq-style wars where you have a few thousand people getting killed at a shot, you know, up to a million. And general warfare, nuclear war, chemical warfare, things on that nature, mass killings. They came to the conclusion that it would be a combination of the first two. And if you go back to 1969, there was a House Appropriations hearing where the Defense Department requested funds to develop a disease that would break down an immune system.
And so this is – excuse me for stopping you here, but this is where the development of the AIDS virus entered into play. And I mean, I'm speculating here, but I'm sure I'm right on target. And this came into play about what point in time? What was it, in the early 80s, late 70s maybe?
Well, it was developed in Arizona in the early 1970s. And we'll go through – I mean, World Health Organization proposed basically the identical proposal. I'll read it right exactly. I have it right in front of me. An attempt shall be made to ascertain whether viruses can in fact exert selective effects on immune function, ergo by affecting T-cell function as opposed to B-cell function. The possibility should also be looked into that the immune response to the virus itself may be impaired if the infecting virus damages more or less selectively the cells responding to the viral antigens. In other words, we want to break down your immune system. Is this possible? And if so, how can we make it possible? Or if not, how can we make it possible? Mm-hmm. I mean, this built for, again, a good 5 or 6 years before the AIDS virus was even discovered on a small scale, and it was tested by way of the smallpox vaccines. Again, it was sort of created, and that's even a loose term. It was basically refined in Arizona and released, and I don't know exactly where in Arizona. I've heard Phoenix. I've heard a few different locations within Arizona, but it's pretty much consensus that it was released out of Fort Detrick in Maryland, rather, in the late 70s as part of the smallpox vaccines. Now you ask yourself, okay, how did Africa, the continent, literally, with the exception of South Africa, which is basically a suburb of the United States, and Egypt, how did the rest of Africa become infected with AIDS on a mass scale? Well, they were sort of the guinea pig. Again, you look to the World Health Organization. This is where this ties in. The AIDS infections in Africa, they literally coincide exactly with the smallpox vaccinations in the mid-70s. This came out in the London Times, starting in Haiti, and it spread around because the WHO would hand out these little handbills, you know, these little propaganda pieces saying that the only way to cure this disease was to have sex with a virgin. And you could see how it spread so quickly. And now, I mean, I don't know what the exact statistics are, but I think it's something like 70% of Africans are infected with some form of an autoimmune deficiency.
Okay, all right. Now let me stop you here for a moment. Okay, so now, you know, we know, and by their own documentation, that yes, they designed it. Now, because I remember way back when this was developed, the rumor was that it had come from some African animal or something. I don't remember what it was. Wait a minute. I want to extend further on this and say that. Okay, so they introduced this. Number one, did it have the effect that they were hoping? In other words, were they hoping that this was going to, you know, kick in and have a much larger effect than it actually had? And number two, this, you know, these AIDS viruses that they're coming up with and so forth, you know, and I mean, is that just basically a cover, a facade for, you know, the underlying agenda, which was basically, you know, ethnic cleansing on specific cultures or what?
Well, I mean, they have race-specific weapons. I mean, Israel has openly talked about it for almost 15 years now. But as far as AIDS, I mean, AIDS failed them. They expected AIDS to be the new bubonic plague, and they don't release anything unless they have the cure for it.
So they have the cure for it, and they released this under the auspices that this was going to have a much larger effect in thinning down the population than it actually had, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why they tested it out on what they considered the undesirables. I mean, you go back to the 1930s and the eugenicists at that time. Margaret Sanger, for example, who basically started the abortion movement in the United States, which is, again, why I'm vehemently pro-life. It's not a religious thing. It's a fact that it's a globalist thing. But, I mean, all these eugenicists, that they considered the blacks to be mongrels. They considered the Latinos to be mongrels. Even the poor of the United States, the poor whites, were useless to them and no more than guinea pigs. And that's why it was targeted towards that population, the gay population, mm-hmm. which they actually encouraged because it would, again, cut down the population. Obviously, gays aren't going to reproduce. But again, and I guess we'll have to pick this up again, it failed them because it didn't have the mass global effect that they predicted. It didn't have the bubonic plague 2000 sort of scenario that they expected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Rob Bishop. Stick with us. We've got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of The American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, home of the AIDS virus, I guess. Anyway, my guest, Rob Bishop, activist. And, I was thinking about this during the break, Rob, and, you know, I don't recall the exact date or year that I ran across this through my research, but there was a point in time where there was a mysterious number of doctors that, you know, participated in this type of biological experimentation and so forth that wound up suicided or dead. Do you recall that?
Absolutely.
Was it related to this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every time this happens, I mean, it's an old rule of the mafia, you know, La Cosa Nostra. Every time a murder goes down, the first thing you do is you kill the hitman, you know. Jacob Siegel, who was a biology professor at, I can't remember the university's name, is in East Germany. He was one of the first to come out and say that the HIV was engineered from the U.S. military at Fort Detrick, because, I mean, he had correspondence with people that had worked on it and said, okay, they're killing off my friends. What's going on? And, you know, then they came out and said, oh, well, he's a KGB agent. He's a he's disinfo, all this kind of stuff. And they tried to basically take his name out. And the KGB came out and said, no, you know what? He's right. And then Vasily Mitro Khan, I believe his name was, who was a KGB disinfo agent, basically a double agent. He came out and said, you know what? I've worked on these projects. I've worked on both sides. And he's right. You know, the U.S. military did do this. And, of course, they tried to spin it off as an anti-capitalist thing. And, you know, the politics took over. But, I mean, you won't believe some of the people that have come out and agree with this. People that have worked on it have come out and said, yes, this is exactly what we did. We didn't know we were doing it. I mean, there's been Nobel Peace Prize laureates coming out and said the same thing, that they did this to take out the African population. You know, it's pretty interesting if you this is mostly the Patriot movement as it is. It seems to be mostly a Caucasian movement. I mean, let's face it, you don't see a lot of blacks, you don't see a lot of Latinos actively involved in this, especially on the radio side and so on. But in my travels, just talking to different blacks and so on, I mean, they seem to they don't know the numbers and the names and the little minute details and statistics and the way that we do it, you know, as far as that goes. But they understand that they've been oppressed. A lot of it is imagined, but they understand what it's like, and it's easier to get these people to open their eyes and start to understand the threat that we face and the threat that we face for hundreds of years and how it's being realized in the, you know, this generation, my generation, to an extent your generation. We are the ones that are going to fight this one way or the other, and to me that's a beautiful thing.
Well, now I don't want you to give away your age, because I mentioned I wanted my audience to listen to you, listen to what you had to say, listen to how prolific and you know, educated you are on the subject matter. And at the end of the show, I'm going to tell them your age. So let's just keep that a dark secret for the moment. But at any rate, you know, and this is going on to this day. I mean, I know that, you know, shortly after 9/11. When it was, Tom Daschle, and there was another senator involved in this, that was sent anthrax through the mail. And they made this big thing out of it, and ultimately we found out it came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland as well. So they have these people working at all times, experimenting and doing the research, and they're compartmentalized. They really don't know exactly what it is they're doing, I suppose, because there's a number of different, you know, people involved in this, and they only know what they're supposed to know. But they've been using this, designing these weapons, the H15N bird flu or whatever, and they keep fear-mongering the public with this one as well. And it seems, I mean, this started 4 or 5 years ago, and nothing seems to ever happen. They just, it's almost like a regurgitated Bin Laden tape. They throw it up there every once in a while just to keep it in the back of people's mind, to keep them in fear. Now, in your estimation or your research, does this particular strain that, you know, will kill somebody in a short period of time, does it actually exist, or are they just using it to fear-monger?
My gut feeling is, and again, this is basically just that, a gut feeling, is that they don't have it perfected yet. And that's, you know, that's sort of that's their ace in the hole, that they might have this bird flu, which, again, isn't mutating into the human strain the way that everybody predicted it would, and, you know, we'd all be quarantined. I mean, even though what's kind of worried me about that is the fact that President Bush gave away sovereignty to the United Nations when it comes to disaster relief, especially in times of an outbreak of any kind of disease.
And okay, let me touch on that for just a moment, and because I'm going to pick your brain here for a minute and to see if you're as up to speed as I am. Now, there was a time back a couple of years ago where I went on to Google Earth. And because I had read some, you know, article or something about UN vehicles on American soil. And they were, you know, pointing me in a certain direction. I went into Google Earth, and I decided that I was going to, you know, do my own due diligence to find out if indeed this was true. And I found three or four different areas across the United States. One is an island off Jacksonville, Florida. Another place in Oklahoma, and maybe another one down in Southern California. And I zoomed in on three different parking lots. And although, you know, there's not enough clarity with Google Earth to see, you know, the logos on the side of the vehicle, from above you could literally see these very large parking lots that housed, I would say between the three, close to 50,000 white vehicles. And I thought to myself, now why in the world would all of these vehicles just be sitting there? They were cordoned off. They were not in a regular parking lot with all the different multicolored vehicles. They were cordoned off. They were in a separate spot, and they were all white. And I thought to myself, they could be nothing else but UN vehicles. Now, in your estimation, are these specific vehicles parked there because of this, you know, they knew that ultimately Bush would sign this order to allow the UN to come in and take over during a bird flu pandemic or whatever?
Actually, I've never heard of that, but yeah, it's possible. I mean, it
sounds good, doesn't it? No.
Hell, hey, man, if it's the MO, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's hard to predict what exactly is going to happen because, you know, as we spoke about earlier, there are so many differing agendas and there's differing groups even within the White House and within the UN and the European Union. So, when things happen, it's usually because they've all come to an agreement. You know, we look at Iraq. How did that happen? It's because they came to an agreement. Okay, you know, this group wants it because they want to shut off the oil resources and jack up the oil prices. This group wanted to go to war because they were devaluing the dollar and taking euros for their petrodollars. I mean, there's some, you know, the Zionist element, certainly. There's a lot of different agendas that have to come to an agreement when something big like that happens. I don't know. I mean, again, I'd have to do more research on it. I've never heard of that myself, as far as there being groups of white vehicles, which would certainly denote the UN.
Well, let me back. This is at a point in time where I was just waking up. I mean, you know, I was a student, if you will, of John Stadtmiller and Alex Jones, and I was, you know, vociferously, you know, consuming anything I could find that was in any way conspiratorial, if you will, and looking at the pictures of prison camps, and I was looking at articles about prison rail cars, and I was looking at UN vehicles on American soil and that sort of thing. And to do my due diligence, I went further than just the article, and I went into Google Earth and I looked for myself, and indeed there were a large amount of these vehicles. You know, so I thought, well, it couldn't be anything else. Why would they have 50,000 vehicles, paint them all white, and just leave them in a parking lot? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. No, that's very interesting. Again, I'll have to look into it, but I've never heard that myself. In fact,
you heard it first here, Rob, on my show.
Breaking news. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. That's interesting stuff. But, again, my feeling's always been, and I've been saying this for over a year now, everybody was crazy. Oh, it's going to be another false flag attack. It's going to be another 9/11. You know, I was coming out a year ago and saying, no, if they're going to do anything, it's going to crash the economy, which is going to cause riots, which is going to allow them to enact the martial law scenario, which Bush will declare 6 months beforehand. What came out about 5 months ago? NSPD 51 and HSPD 20. I mean, and people were ripping Mike. People were ripping me apart when I was on my original radio station right after I got on the air. I mean, mm-hmm. I would get calls just calling me every which thing you can imagine. You know, you're disinfo. You work for the CIA. You're this. You're that. I'm like, no, my research is taking me in a different direction. I don't think that they're going to go to that well again. You know, I mean, we could talk a little bit about 9/11. I personally don't like to spend that much time on it because
I don't either. But I'll tell you that my consensus, and I have a tendency to agree with you. Yes, they have that, you know, the false flag event on the back burner. But I believe that there's enough people awake on that issue that they feel like they're under a microscope there. And I go so far as to say this. John Stadtmiller agrees as well that it's we're all in agreement that it looks like it's economically that they're going to take us down. And it's not it's not like an overnight thing, at least not yet, not until they have their particular assets positioned in such a way that they're going to allow it to happen, because they want it to be a moderate slide, at least for now. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And he's told me the same thing off air as one. I think that's why this network has taken the direction of being more economically based, more so than, you know, it's just repeating the same things about 9/11 over and over and over again and telling people to go out and dress in black t-shirts and hand out DVDs. I mean, I think we're beyond that, and things are more dire than that at this point.
Well, you know, I read an interesting article yesterday. As a matter of fact, it was a very, very long article, and I'm going to read it on the air next week because the listening audience needs to hear it. But it's the perceptions of a specific journalist that ties in a number of factors, and I'm talking about probably 100 different factors as to who really was behind 9/11, and it makes for interesting reading. I'm going to put it up on the show. You're right. You know, that 9/11 happened. It's over. Yes, we know that it was by design. We know that that was, you know, to allow them to further and implement their agenda. I mean, let's face it, they're busted. We don't don't know all of the particulars. We don't know exactly which players were doing what at what point in time, but it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It fits in so perfectly. There is no other logical explanation, so it's like Occam's razor. You know, it's like the simplest explanation is probably the right one, and there's so much evidence that points towards their participation in it that there is nothing else, including their own explanation, that makes any sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree. I mean, I'm kind of on the Lihop side. I mean, because I could prove that. I can absolutely prove that they had foreknowledge, not just very high-level, Dick Cheney-level government figures, but a lot of people had foreknowledge for 10 years and failed to do anything about it. We look at Operation Bojinka. But at the same time, it doesn't matter, and that's when I get kind of annoyed with these no-planers and these space beamers and pod people, all these kind of people, that, and that's all they talk about. It's one thing to have a crazy theory on 9/11 and still understand that it was used for global governance. It's just another brick in the pyramid, let's say. But that's all they talk about. And that's why I just say, all right, the hell with 9/11 truth. You people haven't accomplished much because you're too busy arguing with each other instead of trying to really not just wake people up. That's one thing. But to open people's eyes is a totally another level of understanding. To understand the entire New World Order plan, or at least understand what their goals are and how they think. Not just that, okay, they're the bad guys, we're the good guys. It goes a lot deeper than that psychologically.
Right, and I've said before that if there was some way to get these people out of that limited consciousness and put them all together along with the tax movement and the movement on the North American Union, Trans-Texas Corridor, get us all united, our numbers would grow exponentially, as John Stadmiller says, the boots on the ground theory. And these guys are so busy arguing back and forth about whether a plane hit the Pentagon or whether a space beam hit the World Trade Center. You know, it's divide and conquer. It's a distraction, and a lot of it's disinformation and misinformation. And at this particular point in time, the bottom line is it doesn't matter. The fact is it's over and done with. They killed 3,000 people, and they're using that to further their agenda. Right.
And you spoke of all – absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you spoke of all these different agendas in these different movements, you know, on the, let's say, resistance to the global socialist plan. And to me, you know, when all that happened with the United States opening up her southern border to Mexican truck drivers, we should have been flooded with new listeners and new callers that were truck drivers. And I didn't see it with the network I'm involved with. I didn't hear it with RBN. I didn't hear it with anybody. You know, it was all the same people. And it just, you know, the numbers stayed the same. It boggled my mind. We should have had a total new influx with the Ed and Elaine Brown situation, which RBN has been the flag carrier of that. There should have, we should be flooded with tax protesters, at least people questioning that. And it's nothing. It's the same people, the same numbers. And I mean, I don't know if it's a failure on our part on the radio side, a failure on the filmmaker side. I don't know what it is, but we're not reaching these people. It's been kind of the same stale movement for about 3 or 4 years now. It's the same people saying the same things and arguing with each other over their thing and trying to promote something. You know, why aren't we having an effect? Why has the anti-war movement failed? Why has 9/11 truth failed? Why has everything failed except for Ron Paul? Because Ron Paul has a goal. It's to get this guy the nomination, eventually the presidency, to get his message out there. You know, it's this us against the world mentality, and that's why it's uniting so many different people, so many different groups who otherwise would just butt heads. And, you know, I think we should take a page out of that playbook and start to bring these people into the fold, not say, oh, you know, you're pro-life. I can't even talk to you. And I have that same problem, too. I mean, I'll get into vicious debates with people at the end of the day. All right, you're still an ally because you're willing to fight these people. We can still argue about abortion and, you know, to a lesser extent, the right of religion, all these different things. We can argue, you know, even healthcare. We can argue about these things after the fact, after we secure our liberty and our freedom and understand what liberty and freedom really mean.
Well, I recall back in the Reagan administration, you know, in speeches that Ronald Reagan made before the UN, and I also go back to, you know, if the bullets, hopefully never, they never will, but if the bullets started flying, all these differences would go out the window. If we were attacked by an alien species from beyond, all the differences would go out the window. In the meantime, the powers that be are doing a good job of, you know, fractionalizing, divide and conquer, if you will. And, you know, as you know, we go to great lengths on this network to try to, you know, get people to go out, at least put a bumper sticker on their car, you know, invite their neighbor, friend, relative, or whatever to listen. for the word. That you don't have to be, Mr. Literacy. You don't have to be the greatest of communicators to simply invite somebody in to listen to RBN. It's like inviting somebody to church. Now, I will go so far as to say this. I took a trip over the weekend. I went up to the Bay Area for a class reunion, and I handed out, people had asked me what I was doing these days, and I told them I was a talk show host, and I would hand them out a business card, Rob, and I handed out dozens of them. I mean, literally dozens of them. And, of course, I can track on my website how many people actually hit the site. And there's just a small fraction of these people that actually took the time to go look. I don't know if it's because they're too distracted, it's human nature, whatever it is, but the fact is that we have to keep at these people. We have to keep chipping away, regardless of in what capacity, whether it's a bumper sticker, whether it's an invite to the network or whatever, or your network, TruthNet Radio, by the way. We have to keep after these people, because I will tell you this, and, you had mentioned the debacle with Ed and Elaine Brown and ultimately, what happened there. On that particular day, Rob, it was June the 18th when the crap hit the fan, if you will, and we thought they were under siege, and all of the APVs pulled up outside, and all of the guys in the ghillie suits were in the woods, and there was reports being made on other networks that the house was on fire, and they're being killed and all this stuff. The numbers on the network tripled that day. So I know that these people are out there. It's just that they're doing other things, and it reminds me of the hockey game, where you don't go to watch the game, you go to see if there's a fight. I got a little long-winded there. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Rob Bishop. We got a lot more, and I'll open up the phone line second hour, so stick with us. Be right back.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona with my guest, Rob Bishop. And a short segment coming up to the top of the hour. And after the top of the hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines. But anyway, let's go back to where we were. Rob, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, you mentioned that night in June on TNR. I mean, it was a magical night. And I think probably my favorite night in radio so far. Again, I've only been doing programs for about a year now. I've actually been off the air for about a month. But I did Mike Chambers and I, and of course everybody knows that Mike Chambers hosts a program on this network at Midnight Eastern called the Midnight Writer, and we were just put together a program. This is the night after all that went down with the Browns, and laid out the tax protester arguments and said, okay, this is what we think is legit, this is what we don't, and I did my show after that. Another guy did his show. Chambers did his show, and I went on with him again, and everything started to break down again with the Browns. We started getting calls from Edna Lane to the network. They're surrounding the house again. Luke and, if I remember, it was Matt Kazee or Tom Frody. One of the other guys from We Are Change had been sent up as well. So we were on the phone with them. It was just an incredible night. We were on the air for a good 12 hours. I mean, it was just insane. And, we'll probably have to hit on the Browns situation itself at the top of the hour. But, I mean, it was just one of those nights you don't forget, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, it didn't, end the way that we wanted it to.
Well, we were all involved in that. And, of course, John Samuel and I taxied Randy Weaver up to Plainfield, New Hampshire, trying to rectify, an impossible situation. Yeah, it didn't end the way we would have hoped. The good news is they didn't die. But at any rate, this continues. I had Tommy Cryer up on my show yesterday, and we've got, just recently beat the IRS in his case a few months ago, but we've got Sherry Jackson that's coming up this month. This is going to continue until, we have, again, enough boots on the ground to get the information out there, and you don't have to be Mr. Literate. You can do it through Freedom to Fascism, the video the late Aaron Russo did. And I believe, I believe that it's starting to work, at least in a limited capacity. We do not have the advantage of mainstream media because it's bought, paid for, and controlled. But we can do this through word of mouth. And I remember years ago, Rob, when people used to say, well, word of mouth is the best advertisement. No, it's not. Sad to say, it would be nice if it were true, but you have to get your mouth in gear. Because if you don't, it's like a Cadillac sitting in the garage that you never turn on the key. It has to go somewhere to get you somewhere. So, as far as the Brown situation goes, it's sad that it ended with them in prison. But Tommy Cryer did have a little bit of good news yesterday, and that is that there is a possibility that there could be a new trial, based upon going through the transcripts and so forth. So we'll have to see how that pans out.
It kind of reminds me of a quote that the guy that actually woke me up, Bill Cooper, wrote in his book, Behold the Pale Horse, where he said that those who don't use their brain are no better than those that have no brain. And I really think that applies. But, I mean, I'm starting to see a little bit of progress in the movement. I'm starting to see just some of the names that I've seen in the chat rooms and on forums who 6 months ago, really didn't seem to know much beyond what they'd heard on a radio program or, in a documentary. And now they're starting to come out with hard facts. They're starting to come up with ideas. I mean, it's one thing to tell everybody that the country is screwed. Everybody knows that. Regardless of political affiliation, regardless of how deep you are in a patriot movement or whatever, even if you're just an average housewife, you know things are screwed up. It's another thing to come out and say, okay, these are the answers and this is how we're going to fix it.
Well, as they turn the heat up, and I'm getting reports now that Blackwater is training our police They're starting. I got an email from a listener the other day that said she was stopped in St. Louis. Blackwater trained those police, and they're not wearing those nice little blue uniforms anymore. They're turning black, and they're starting to look more and more like a Star Wars uniform, only for the dark side. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Rob Bishop. We'll be back second hour. Stay tuned. 2 minutes, and then we're going to open the phone lines for your calls. So we've got a lot more coming.
With